My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joe Singer and Tom Stallings host a great podcast called Take a Breath. Joe, tell us what you talk about on the show.
Yeah, so Take a Breath is a podcast for people who are really trying to build something valuable in their lives, whether it's a business or a marriage or whatever it is you're trying to do. We help you with some hacks to build your best life.
Wow, where can people subscribe?
You could find us on marketingpodcasts.net as well as mergeanalytics.com. And you can also find us on LinkedIn and YouTube.
And wherever you get your podcasts. So go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Michelle Mazur.
As experts, as business owners, we have like level 10 knowledge of what it is we do. And your clients have like, you know, level one or two. And we think as the expert, oh, I'm bringing it down to their level when we work on the messaging, but we're still at like a 6 or a 7. And there's this huge gap. Like your clients still aren't where you're at, even though you think you're, you know, speaking their language.
Dr. Michelle Mazur is a messaging expert who works with brilliant business owners who are shaking things up but having trouble talking about it. She combines the tools of successful social movements with the qualitative research skills she earned in her communication PhD to help them craft their powerful, captivating message. The author of The Three-Word Rebellion, host of the Rebel Uprising podcast, and featured in Fast Company, Entrepreneur, and Inc., she knows that speaking about what you do in a clear and captivating way is the key to reaching the people you could help the most and making more money in your business. Michelle, welcome to On Brand.
I'm excited to be here, Nick. Thank you.
You know, why is this so hard for us? Your bio tees that up perfectly, and it's like, hey, this sounds awesome. Why is there such a critical need for a Michelle Mazur?
Mostly because we are terrible at describing the work that we do and how we serve our customers. A lot of the people I work with are experts in their field, and they're really close to their work. And what's important to the expert, and even like what's important to the company, is not what's important to your client. So it's really hard for people to back out and see their work like their potential client sees their work. So they're in that, like, I'm just going to talk about my solution because that's what excites me, but that's not what excites your client.
You know, you hit the nail on the head too, because it's not because of some sort of deficit of intelligence. That's why I love that you talked about brilliant business owners, because there's all kinds of smart people that have this challenge. And there are amazing businesses that are out there that people have trouble understanding. Being in this business also, it's incredibly sad when you see that disconnect between something that is amazing and an audience that can't make heads or tails of what someone's trying to say.
Yeah, I completely agree, because here is this business who has a product, has a service that can really help people, but the people it needs to reach, they land on their website or they see them on social media and they're like, what are they going on about? Like, is this for me? What problem does this solve? I'm very confused. And then they go away because they don't see themselves in your business, in your product, your service, your brand. And that is really the problem.
So is it easy enough to define as like the curse of knowledge stuff of being too close?
Yes. It's the curse of knowledge. And I read a great book by Lee Lefevre, and it was about explaining what it is you do. And he talks about the fact that as experts, as business owners, we have like level 10 knowledge of what it is we do. And your clients have level 1 or 2 knowledge about what it is you do. And we think as the expert, oh, I'm bringing it down to their level when we work on the messaging, but we're still at like a 6 or a 7. And there's this huge gap. Like your clients still aren't where you're at, even though you think you're, speaking their language.
I love quantifying that with the numbers, because I think that that's helpful to understand what this gap is. My wife is an elected official and works in city government, and there's all the time I'm trying to understand what she's working on, and I'm going to start using these numbers because I think exactly what you said. She's trying to, explain it, and she feels like she's doing so effectively, but she's at 6 or 7, and I'm 2 maybe, but I'm just, I always think I'm an average community member, and trying to get to that is key.
Yeah.
What intrigues me is I always, in talking about what you do, I love the idea that constraints help us to inspire some creativity. And yes. I always, cling to the idea, use it in the classroom of a 6-word story. But you go a step further than that with a 3-word rebellion. So you've cut my work in half. So how can 3 words help us to paint that picture?
Yeah, I came up with this idea of the 3-word rebellion because I was seeing this rise of social movements. And what social movements are particularly good at is communicating the change they want to create in just a few words, whether it's Black Lives Matter, Make America Great Again, Me Too. It's succinct, it's sticky, it's memorable. And then I looked at some of my favorite thought leaders, speakers, entrepreneurs, and I realized they were doing the exact same thing. Whether it was Simon Sinek and Start With Why, Mel Robbins, The 5-Second Rule, Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Work Week, they were able to condense the change they wanted to create for people, to create for their industry in just a few words. And in my mind, I was like, well, that's an interesting pattern. That's an interesting connection. And way back in the day when I was in graduate school, I took a social movements class. So I was like, I wonder if I took these questions from social movements and gave them to my clients to free write on, could I come up with this sticky, curiosity-provoking, memorable message? And it actually worked. Which I was like, wow, okay. And I think the beauty about having a 3-word rebellion is it encapsulates the change you want to create for your client. It creates curiosity because when you hear something like start with why, all of a sudden your brain is like, oh yeah, that's where I should start. What's my why? Or the 5-second rule, your brain's like, oh, should I be following that rule? What is that rule? I don't know. I must find out. So these messages are really great at creating that curiosity and intrigue that makes people want to know more about the work you do.
And I like how, because it seems like a lot of times when we are trying to describe ourselves, describe what we do, we get into titles, we get into SIC code industry type stuff, but you are rather focused on how did you say that again? It was the change that you hope to see.
Yeah, the change that you hope to see for your clients or even your industry.
So, people sitting out there love this, like the idea. How do you get started? This is anytime you simplify something down to three words or even fewer, that is harder than it initially sounds.
Yes, it is. It is. So the way to get started and the process that I use with my clients and that I talk about in the book is I'm a big believer in free writing. So I give people prompts like, what are you rebelling against? What's the change you want to create? And then I just let them open up their mind and just dump everything out on paper. Because I think the problem with businesses finding their message a lot of the times is it's all up in their heads and they're just thinking about it and rolling it around in their head. And I'm like, no, let's get it out on paper in a somewhat structured way so we can actually see what we're dealing with and then use that as the raw material to unearth. So pretty much what I do is we're casting a really wide net at first, like, let's get all your ideas onto paper using these prompts. And then we can start drilling down into what's important, because I believe that business's three-word rebellion already exists. It's in something you're saying, but it's just, you know, jammed in there with a bunch of other words around it. So how can we get, so then we start filtering into it and figuring out what that message can be.
So is it, I love the idea that it's already there, because a lot of times you do go a long distance, cast that wide net, and then find something that it turns out you've been saying you've been using all the time. So is there a document in that free writing? What form does that wide net take, and how does it become three words? Is it iterative? Are there other people involved?
Oh yeah, it is definitely iterative. So the way that I work with clients in particular, it's like they do the brain dump and then I take it and I use my research skills to, you know, think about like, hey, what are your creation themes? What are your rebellion themes? Who is the villain in the story that we're talking about? And by the way, the villain is never your customer or client. No, we don't do that. But there's always a villain in the story. And then I start looking for like interesting turns of phrase. I look for great verbs. I'm a big fan of a good verb. And I can create like a word bank from that. And sometimes when you do the exercises, sometimes you just see it. Like, I have found three-word rebellions in all kinds of strange places. Sometimes it's in the free writing. Sometimes I'm on someone's website and I'm like, see something in the footer and I'm like, wait a minute, that's really good. Or they send me a video and I'm watching it and they have this like throwaway line. And I was like, wait a minute, that could be a thing. So they're all over the place, but I feel like that process of just, it's a cathartic process of getting those ideas out so that you can start that filtering is the best way to find it.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joe Singer and Tom Stallings host a great podcast called Take a Breath. Joe, tell us what you talk about on the show.
Yeah, so Take a Breath is a podcast for people who are really trying to build something valuable in their lives, whether it's a business or a marriage or whatever it is you're trying to do. We help you with some hacks to build your best life.
Wow, where can people subscribe?
You could find us on marketingpodcasts.net as well as mergeanalytics.com, and you can also find us on LinkedIn and YouTube.
And wherever you get your podcasts. So go subscribe.
Now, back to the show. I love this concept of these key ideas kind of hiding in plain sight. Because why that's happening gets at something else that you talk about a lot is that, we not only have trouble getting these messages out there, sometimes it kind of calcifies into entrepreneurs thinking they're bad at marketing. So how do we kind of get beyond this this box that we put ourselves in?
Yeah, the bad at marketing box is fascinating to me because usually they are not bad at marketing, because to me, like, marketing is a strategy that you execute in order to, like, grow your brand awareness and nurture your audience, you know, get them ready to buy from you. Like, that's what marketing does. But the message powers all of that. So I see so many people doing these like marketing programs or hiring marketing companies when they're unsure of what they need to say in order to get people's attention, make them curious, create conversation that gets them ready to work with them. So it's not that you're bad at marketing, it's just the message to power that marketing isn't there yet. You're not building that argument for your work. And once you are able to really move people along on that awareness spectrum, then it's like, oh, marketing gets a whole lot easier because now you know what to say in order to get people interested in the work you do or in your business.
You know, it's so interesting because we talk about all of, you know, word choice, and listeners of the show know that I often roll my eyes at the labels in marketing for talking about all of this. And I think you said something really key in there that I don't always think that we know how to describe how it interacts, because, you know, you very specifically in our sound check, my go-to question is name and title. You call yourself a messaging expert, and we sometimes use all these concepts interchangeably, and I don't know that we should. Talk a bit about the hierarchy of message, of marketing, of how all of this stuff fits together and why it's important to use the words as specifically as possible.
Yeah, that is such a great question, because I feel like there's a lot of confusion about what is messaging, what is copywriting, what is marketing. And the way that I look at it is messaging is the what you say. So it is, you know, it's the message you want to be known for, your three-word rebellion, but it's also those key messages that move people to want to work with your business. So your messaging then informs copywriting, because the copywriting piece is like, how do you take those messages and turn them into words on a page? And then marketing also fits under messaging, because when you're ready to market, you're ready to amplify your message, but you got to have a message to amplify. Like, that's what marketing does. It amplifies your message. But if you don't know what you're amplifying, your marketing's not going to be effective. And to me, messaging comes in when, you know, you have a solid offer, or whether it's a service or a product, and before you go to market it, you want to know what the message is. And it's interesting to me because, I mean, I feel like corporate America dials this in really well, because I worked in market research for about 5 or 6 years after I was a professor. And I worked on a study with Microsoft. It was top secret back in the day, but I'm pretty sure it's because the product's out. It was the Xbox One. And before the launch of it, we did this huge message testing for them, because they wanted to make sure that messaging was dialed in before they started advertising, before they started the launch of the Xbox, even though it was going to be super successful because everybody loved the first version of the Xbox. But they spent all of this time and money really testing what the message they're going to take to their market would be.
You know, that's such an interesting hire, especially as you explained it, that, you know, you have your message being your what, your copy being how that is expressed as words, and your marketing being what amplifies that. Because in my head, as you were talking about all this, it seemed like those the Russian stacking dolls, the Matryoshka dolls.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I feel like of all of those labels, we use marketing constantly, and marketing is the amplification. And I would say, honestly, it seems like a lot of times we hear messaging the least. And I think that's a symptom of what we're talking about, that we're so focused on the amplification that we aren't spending the necessary amount of time on what the what is.
Yeah, I feel like that's true. I feel like I've spent most of my career explaining to people what messaging is and why they need it, especially when they're frustrated. They're like, I'm really good at what I do. Why, you know, like, why am I not known for this? And it's like, because you don't know how to talk about it in a way that makes people care.
Yeah.
And yeah, we do not spend enough time like diving in to the messaging. And so what we end up with, you know, whether like we end up with a lot of like jargony, sounds like everybody else type of messaging when you don't focus on the what. Because what you end up doing then for your marketing, if you don't have that what, that messaging, is you look around and see what everybody else is doing. And then you're just like, well, that seems to be working for them. I'll do something similar.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like when you show up, I'm going to mix metaphors from my stacking dolls here, but when you focus only on the amplification, it's like you're showing up with just a jug of gasoline to put on a fire that you really haven't thought much about building. And after you dump the gas and it gets really big, there's not going to be much of a fire going. You have to stack that up. You have to have all your different kinds of wood in there as well.
Yeah.
You were talking earlier about the different aspects, and you talked about the importance of verbs, speaking of the different types of fire starters and things that mm-hmm. you need. But you also talked about villains, and I like that. And it made me think about something else in your work that I'm fascinated by that I don't think enough people talk about, and that is this idea of bro marketing.
Oh.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because I think it's another thing that's out there as well. You've got, I'm in the bad marketing box. Then you've got lots of bro marketing, especially in the entrepreneurial startup space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro marketing is fascinating because it's really about how do we use psychological triggers in order to manipulate your audience, basically. And anyone can be a bro marketer. It's not just men. You see a lot of women use these tactics as well. But Robert Cialdini wrote this famous book, Influence. influence, and he talks about these psychological triggers of persuasion. And he wrote the book with the intent of like, hey, you should be aware of these because they're easily manipulated. Things like scarcity and social proof and authority and liking and familiarity. Like, he's like, all of these can be weaponized. And I feel like a lot of the bro marketers looked at that book and said, yes, let's weaponize these things. And I to take it back to messaging, I feel like people use or rely on bro marketing because they don't have a message. They still need to persuade people. They're not sure what to say. So they can just jam on people's pain points, you know, up their anxiety, give them that fear of missing out. And all of a sudden, your solution is the solution that's going to solve everything for them. And it's only available for a limited time. And look at all these great people who got great results. You know, never mentioning the people who didn't get any results at all, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. And so then we get this anxiety to buy, and we make that purchasing decision. And a lot of the times it leads to some regret.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I think weaponizing Cialdini is something that I'm sitting here not yes, and focus. It seems like back to the wrong kind of amplification, and it's, you know, beyond anything else. It does feel like it moves us further away from what you're talking about in terms of your meaningful message.
Yeah, it really does, because people who use bro marketing tactics, they don't really have a meaningful message. They're right. Getting customers and clients because they know what to say to manipulate people to pull out their credit card and buy, but they're unclear about like, yeah, how am I actually serving these people? What's the result I want to get them? What's the change I'm trying to create with my work?
And I also think, you know, you've got some of those triggers that can, produce, some sort of an immediate impact. But if we talk about a meaningful message, it's something that has meaning probably for the long term. And pulling those levers, triggers, isn't going to do that the way that true long-term connection with someone can.
Yeah, well, I feel like when you have a meaningful message, when you understand how to build an argument for your work, that gives people the information they need in order to decide what's best for them, you're creating goodwill, you're creating customer loyalty, because you've helped people make an informed decision versus a decision that is solely based on anxiety, pain, and the fear of missing out. Because I think what happens is like these bro marketing tactics, they're great for a fast cash grab. And then people get in there and they're like, oh, this is not for me. This isn't going to deliver on what they said it was going to deliver on. And then that creates a bad brand impression.
Yeah.
And bad word of mouth. So it harms your reputation. It also, you know, harms customer loyalty. They're not going to come back and work with you ever again.
All right. So we've gotten everyone whipped up on messaging. If folks are sitting out there thinking, God, I want to do something as a result of this, whether they are a personal brand, an entrepreneur, or a brand that is marketing without that foundational message, what's one thing that they can do right now that is a step in clarifying that?
So I'm going to give you the first step that I always tell people they need to take. Listen to your clients and customers. They're constantly talking to you. I like, yes, your three-word rebellion is very important, but your three-word rebellion also needs to align with your clients and customers. And finding that, and this is like in my market research wheelhouse, obviously, but being able to pull from customer language, and you probably are sitting on a ton of it. Like, it is all around you, whether it's like comments, questions you're getting, feedback, intake forms, all of the things have customer language. So start pulling from what your customer is saying, and then it's going to be easier to get their attention and build out that three-word rebellion.
That is amazing advice, and also helps anyone around that wants to get started but is intimidated by a blank page. Here's how you can fill it up quick. Yeah, go look for the customer language that is probably out there as well. And even if you're not doing market research, you know, look for what folks have sent in email. It's mm-hmm. out there. It's findable.
Yes, absolutely.
Michelle, I've been nodding and smiling throughout our conversation. Now I get to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
All right. So the brand that makes me smile all the time is, they're called Funko Pops. I don't know if
yes.
you're familiar. So they're these little like collectible toys of popular culture characters. So like Baby Yoda. I have some from the cast of Breaking Bad. I have Funko Pops from Duran Duran. And so I love Funko Pops because it's, you know, you get to take a piece of popular culture home with you. And then it's an expression of your personality and who you are. And they're just kind of fun to have around.
Well, you know, that yes noise that I just made was, which I don't make for every brand that's made someone smile, but I was also taking a quick inventory. There are at least 20 that are looking at me right now here in the office. And you said Breaking Bad. I've got Mike Ehrmantraut.
I love Mike.
looking at me. You know, it's funny. It's like little, to me, they're a lot of little strange reminders. It's funny who you end up like assembling around you. But Mike reminding me not to take any half measures. I have Meryl Streep, Devil Wears Prada, Miranda Priestley, that is kind of like the intimidation factor for walking in my office. She's on the corner of my desk as just a reminder of that's all for anyone out there. But I am almost at the point where I wonder if I have too many, or maybe I need to just start cycling them in and out, like a museum does with their art.
I know. I'm at the point where I have too many. My husband often talks about how many Funkos we have, and then he gives them to me as gifts. So I'm a little confused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now it's like, my kids do the same thing with me at holidays. It's like, I've got so many now. Well, this has been awesome. And as evidenced, I could keep talking about both messaging and Funko Pops for hours, but the time has come. But before we wrap up, I want to tell folks where they can go to learn more about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So if you are interested in getting a taste of the three-word rebellion, I've put together a little mini audio workshop that you can get at threewordrebellion.com. And you can find out more about me at drmichellemazer.com.
Awesome. An audio workshop. You know, we get all sorts of interesting things. I'm not sure we've gotten one of those before. So happy to link up to that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Michelle, thanks for being on brand with us.
You are so welcome. Thank you. This conversation was amazing.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joe Singer and Tom Stallings host a great podcast called Take a Breath. Joe, tell us what you talk about on the show.
Yeah, so Take a Breath is a podcast for people who are really trying to build something valuable in their lives, whether it's a business or a marriage or whatever it is you're trying to do. We help you with some hacks to build your best life.
Wow, where can people subscribe?
You could find us on marketingpodcasts.net as well as mergeanalytics.com, and you can also find us on LinkedIn and YouTube.
And wherever you get your podcasts. So go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.